Hopefully. Yeah, who's that tell me that they, oh, the Brown. We are recording. Okay, all the wonders of COVID. Mm-hmm. Strange world we live in. The rules keep changing on a regular basis. We're talking about Pashat Akib, which gets into the mitzvah side of Sefer Devarim, and mostly focused on the mitzvah of Avod Hashem. He's going to talk about mitzvah Avod Hashem. This is the second half of Shema, Vayam Shemoa, and then next week's Parsha Re'eh starts all the details of all the mitzvah. But as he's getting to this Avod Hashem question, he goes back to a little bit of a historical introduction. This is Moshe's words from Perche, source one. Remember the whole way that Hashem took you through the wilderness for 40 years. In order to afflict you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, are you going to listen to his mitzvot or not? And Hashem afflicted you and made you hungry. And then fed you man, that you, your ancestors, never knew anything about, in order to let you know, because man does not live by bread alone, man lives by everything that Hashem gives him. Right, well, everything comes out of Hashem's mouth. Your clothing did not wear out, and your legs didn't become swollen, or literally doughy. For these 40 years. And you should know in your heart, that just like a person disciplines, chastises, afflicts his son, so too does Hashem afflict you. And in case you missed the point, Moshe repeats it later on. Hashem gave you man to eat in the wilderness. That you never, your ancestors never knew, leman anotcha, in order to afflict you, leman nasotcha, in order to test you, lehet tivcha ba'achritecha, in order to do good in the end. So the idea of this, is that Hashem is saying, Hashem's going to cause us pain, but it's good for us. Right, it's our ultimate good. Now, that's what I'm looking at. Is that a moral thing? Is that a good thing? And for me, obviously, the answer is yes. I tell my kids this all the time. Leia is smiling right now because she's heard this quote.
Because I was going to say it, and then I saw it on the...
There you go. We know this, right? Pain is, pain is a feeling of weakness leaving the body, right? Just what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's the, Chesty Puller was a Marine, right? That's the Marine motto. That's the motto of medical residencies, to break you down, builds you up there. It's a good thing. But still seems very immoral. What does it mean Hashem is l'man anotcha? Hashem is going to afflict us, give us pain in order to be good in the end. You know, is that something we expect from Hashem? It's a very strange sort of thing. Hashem is gonna cause us pain, but it's good for us. Because that's the problem of theodicy, right? Tzadik v'ra'lo. Why do bad things happen to good people? And that is the one question of Jewish theology. The one question that Moshe was never answered. The one question there isn't any answer. Why do the good suffer? And there are no answers. You know, anyone tells you there's an answer, they're making stuff up. But I think there are five approaches. I've never seen anyone probably put it down this, but traditional Judaism, I think there are five I've identified, I could say that they're there. And the meta approach, the kind of the taking a step back approach of the question of suffering is not to approach it at all. You don't have to give an answer. That's the Mishnah in Avot. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Al teratzet chavercha b'shar kasa. Don't try to appease someone else when they're angry. Don't try to appease them Don't try to comfort them when the dead is in front of them. You can be there for someone when they're suffering without trying to explain it, without trying to answer it. And I'm going to look over here. I just have it. Someone just came up with a chat.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Okay.
Ah. I'm going to be reading it out loud.
Okay.
Let me put this down over here.
I just wasn't sure if you saw that, so.
Okay. Whoop. I don't want to do this. Okay. So, and that's one approach to suffering, is not to say, here's an answer, but here, I'm with you, I understand. But there are four, I think, ways of answer, of looking at it. There's the idea that Hashem is just. Suffering is God's response. Mida keneged mida. And that's always the right thing. And if you're suffering, you need to look at your actions, go back and see what's going on. Gemara Shabbos says, I'm Rabbi Ami, ein mita b'lo chet, ben yisurim b'lo avon. There's no suffering without sin. If you're suffering, then you did something, and you need to go look at that. Again, that's not an answer. You don't necessarily want to tell somebody that. But it's an approach. It's one way of looking at suffering. Our response should be introspection, tshuva. And that's the general approach. If you're looking at Tanakh, that's where the Mishlei puts it. And I quote here that Mishlei is full of quotes like this, ki yesharim yishkinu aretz, that the righteous will dwell in the land, yimim yivatru ba, and those who are perfect will do well in it, rishim me'eretz yikaretu, but the evil will be wiped out, bogdim yisachu mimenu, those who betray Hashem will be exiled. That suffering is deserved. That's one approach. We also have the idea that Hashem is infinitely good, but we don't understand what goodness means. That the world's too complicated for us to understand. We're part of a larger plan. And that's generally the way Eov looks at it. That's the answer of Eov, or the approach, let's put that, the approach to Yisurim of Eov. And it says that, you know, Hashem tells him, were you there when I created the world? Like, we don't understand, but it's part of the greater world. And then there's the approach that Tehillim takes. And that's the idea of Gamzu L'Tova. That it will work out. The suffering is an unfortunate side effect, but what is happening now will work out for the good in the end. Now we see that Tehillim is full of that David complains about how things are bad, but he says, and Hashem will listen to me, Tehillim always ends on a positive note. But our pasuk doesn't say that at all. It doesn't have any of those kinds of approaches to Yisurim, that Lan Yasreka. It says, that Laman Anotcha, in order to afflict you, to do good in the end. It's not that the suffering is the side effect, and that what's happening here will end up being good, but it's the affliction itself that is good. It almost is like that Jesse Puller quote about that pain is weakness leaving the body. The pain makes us stronger. And that's connected to the idea of leman nasecha, leman nasodcha, in order to test you. That's the idea of a test. That comes up in the Torah all the time. The Hashem tests us by giving us Yisurim. And it wants to see how we respond to that. And that's what I think what the Gemara generally calls Yisurim Shel Ahava. Hashem loves us and therefore gives us Yisurim, gives us this pain. And again, that's one approach to suffering, that it is part of a test. And what does the test mean? That's what I want to look at. And that's source 5. Amar Rava, Yitema Rav Chista. Rava or Rav Chista said, Imroa Adam Shi Yisurim Ba'ina Lav. If someone sees that things are bad, there's some kind of suffering going on. Yipashpesh masav, he should look at his own actions. Is there something I can do wrong? Again, the Hashem is just, there's something there I can do better. Pishpesh v'lamatzah, yitleh b'vitol Torah. And if you looked and you don't see anything, then say maybe it's I'm just not learning Torah enough. Maybe I need to spend more time. I'm spending too much time playing games on my phone. Maybe I just need to spend more time learning, which again goes to the idea of the Hashem is just, I must be doing something wrong. But imtala, but if I thought about that and I attribute it to my lack of learning, but I don't find, lo matzah, and don't find anything, be a duashi yisurim shel abba. Now I know that's yisurim shel abba. I'm not doing anything wrong, Hashem is giving me this suffering. The Rei Rashi puts, what are you, Shurim Shel Ahava? Pain of love. Akash Baruch Hu, Miyasro, Ba'olam Hazeh, B'lo Shum Avon. Hashem may give and make a person suffer without any sin at all. He'll Habot Tzchara B'olam Haba. In order to give him more reward in Olam Haba, Yichdei Zichuyotav, more than he deserved. Which is not a very helpful answer, because still explain why that would happen. Why did I, well, I suffer, so therefore I'm going to be rewarded more in Olam Haba. So I want to go look back at this question of what is a nisayon? Clearly that's the idea. What does it mean to have a test? And this mostly comes from a book. Let's see if I have it over here. Here we go. See this over here. This is a book by one of Liora's teachers in seminary, Manuel Bernstein, called Agada. And she liked him because A, he had a great British accent, and B, he made all sorts of terrible puns. So she said he reminded her of me. So we're going to talk about
that. You have a nice British accent?
I do not have a British accent, but I make bad puns. So let's go back to the sources over here. He's talking about various agadot. And what he's looking at is based on a pasuk in Tehillim, source 7. Hashem tzadik yivchan. God tests the righteous. Rasha bo'ev chamas, but an evil person and one who loves violence, sana nafsho, Hashem hates that one. Hashem doesn't hate the tzadik, Hashem loves the tzadik and then tests them. So, here's the Midrash Bereishit Rabbah. And the context of this is all from where Abraham is tested. Hashem nisad Abraham and by the Akedah. What does a nisayon? What does a test mean? Sort of say, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Hapishtani azeh. There was a flax merchant. Shepishtano lokeh. If his flax is diseased, he has poor quality flax. Enu makisha lag bioter. He doesn't mess with it too much. Because it's going to crumble if he messes with his flax. But if his flax is good quality, he's going to beat on it, on that flax. Lama, why is he going to do that? Because the beating on it, the hitting your flax, folding it back and forth, makes it better. It's more flexible. It's breaking it in. You can do that with good quality flax. Poor quality flax, you can't. So to Hashem doesn't test Rishaim. Lama, why? Because they couldn't handle the test. So who is Hashem going to test? Tzadikim. Hashem only tests the tzadikim because they are the ones who can handle the test. And in fact, they become better with the test. That's the pasuk. Similarly, Amar Rav Yonatan, Hayotzer hazeh. Very potter. Chubodek at the Kivshan Shalom. Enobodek at Kalim Meroaim. When someone is testing how his kiln to see how good the pots are coming out of the kiln, he doesn't check by knocking on his clay vessels. Kalim Meroaim. He doesn't try to check the ones that are low quality, the ones that are going to break. Lama, why? Because he's going to hit it once and it's going to break. It's going to shatter. That doesn't mean anything. He always knows that. Mabedek, what's he going to check for his quality assurance? The kankakim brurim. So the bottles, the glasses that are clear, that clearly are look like they're good quality. That even if he strikes it a couple of times, it's still not going to break. That's the test. So too, Hashem doesn't test Rishayim, only Tzadikim, as it says Hashem Tzadikim. That's the second mashal in the Midrash. Amar Lazar is another mashal in the Midrash. It's similar to Labal Bait Shayo Shtei Parot. Someone has two oxen. Achat Kocha Yafeh, Kocha Ra'ah, cows. One was strong, one weak. Almino tanta, which one he's going to use to plow his field? Lo al Of course, he's going to use the one that's stronger. So too, Kadosh Baruch Hu only tests tzaddikim. It says Hashem tzaddikim chan. Same answer. So as Rabbi Bernstein puts it, that there's a lot of mishalim here, and what's the point of giving these three things? We get the idea, right? Tzaddikim, these tests, doesn't test rishayim. So he says that really the Midrash is giving us three approaches to nisayon. Why is Hashem tzaddik yivchan? What does it mean to have this bichina, or this nisayon? He says it reflects three different ways of looking at it that are present in the Rishonim. The Ramban, looking at Abraham, talks about a nisayon. Source 10. In yana nisayon hu, the idea of that trust, the dati, in my opinion. Because the person has free will. What they do is up to them. If he wants to do something, he will. If they don't want to, they won't. But you create nisayon mitzara menusa. And therefore, it's a test from the person, from the point of view of the person being tested. You're in a situation, and what you decide in that situation, what do I do with what's going on, that's up to me. I have free will. But the one doing the testing, that's Hashem, Hashem commands it. Hashem knows how you would react. Hashem knows basically what you're capable of doing, but you don't know that. And the idea of Nisayon is to teach you what you are capable of achieving, to go from the Akoach L'Pol, to go from the potential to the actual. That's what Nisayon does. So that's what the reward is for actually doing something. Knowing that you're capable of doing great things is not the same as actually doing them. That's when Nisayon is the opportunity to do something. And that you should know, Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, Shuyodea B'Tzadik Sheyaseh Rasanah. So Hashem knows that the Tzadik will do the right thing, and Hashem wants to bring out that Tzidkut. Nitzaveh Tobi Nisayon. That's when the Nisayon happens. That's where all the nisayonot are for the good of the one being tested. So Hashem is giving us the man as a test to let us know that we are capable of dealing with it, of still having the trust in Hashem, of not questioning him. And of course, we may fail the test as well, but Hashem is saying, you can handle this. That's the Ramban's approach. The Rambam, Mor Nevuchim, has a slightly different idea of what Nisayon is. Source 11. Inyana Nisayon, Gam Ken Musubak Ma'ar. The idea of it, Nisayon, is very misunderstood. The Gadom is Supikei HaTorah. And this is one of the greatest doubts that one has about the Torah. What's this idea of being tested? Vidaki told Nisayon Shabbat Torah. The idea of every test. In Kavanato Vinyano. The idea is only to do b'nei adam. It's for other people. And the Ramban is focused on the person being tested. The Ramban is focused on those watching. Everyone else who learns about it will learn about how it's possible to respond in this difficult situation. People should know what they should do. And what's proper to believe. This is what the Nisayon does. It's an opportunity for someone, the tzaddik in this case, to show what is possible. So the idea is to be a lesson, that one should be an example to others. That's what Nisayon does. And there's another approach to Nisayon, this idea of testing, which is the Al-Shikh. And all of this is looking at Abraham. There's another kind of test. Yinasehu yitbarach et tzadik. Hashem tries the tzadik. Vavi alav yisurin lenasato. Brings these troubles, this suffering on him to test him. Sheikablam ba'ava. So he should accept them. Ba'ad hador on the behalf of the generation. So the suffering will happen. So this becomes sort of a version of the Eov approach. That what this suffering, what is happening here is going to happen. Somehow it fits into Hashem's plan. But the tzaddik is the one who can bear it. And the idea is that the bechina toelat hador is for the good of the entire generation. She yispo yishurim, that the tzaddik will suffer this suffering, l'chaper, and that will act as a kapara, as a way of atoning, l'hagin alehem, that will defend them. That this punishment will happen, but the tzaddik will accept it upon himself. Ki chalayim hu noseh u'machavam u'sivam, because this tzaddik is bearing their illnesses and their pain. It's that someone can do that. I can take someone else's pain on myself. And that's another idea of a nisayon. These are all shel ahava. Not that they're trouble that's deserved, but they're ones that give me more zechut. And so Brian Bernstein says that's what those three mashalim of the medrash are. The first one is the flax that gets beaten, because that actually improves the flax itself. We don't necessarily know that if you're in a flax, you don't see that happening. But you know, the more it's been folded and mashed on, it becomes more flexible, it becomes better, and that's the Ramban's answer. That the test is for the person to express in reality what they're capable of in potential. It improves the person. The second approach was of the glass maker, the potter, who knocks on his pots, and to show that they can handle it, and it's a way of telling other people, look, these are good pots, I can do that. I know it's gonna break, I'm not gonna even start with that, but I know these are good pots, I can do that. So the Rambam explains that the idea of putting someone in Nisayon is to for others to see what the tzaddik is capable of. That Nisayon is related to Nes, which means a banner, something that's held high that others are watching. And the third explanation is of the person who wants to plow his field, will always pick the stronger of the two oxen. They're capable of actually doing the job. That's the idea that a tzaddik is someone who accepts others' suffering upon themselves. And that's the third mashal. And then Tziv actually says something similar and kind of summarizes it. This is the Hemek Dabar on the idea of Nisayon. Yesh b'zeh o mashmot. There's another way of understanding Nisayon. Kedamar Barabba, the way the Breshit Rabba said, that's what we quoted. That idea of the Nes, Nisayon is a Nes of a banner. It's something to show others, or to show the world. I knew it had to be on this, to put it on top of a pole to act as a banner. That this test, specifically of Abraham, increase Abraham's own power, and it was good for all of Bnei Israel, as we'll explain. And Chazal gave three different parables for the idea of a Nisayon. There was the flax, the pottery, and the oxen. Shakona Mikadesha Kadera, Toba Bla Ra'ua, and he gives a slightly different example. One is the pot that the buyer here tests the good ones, not the bad ones. Sheni al Pishtan Tov, Makim Harbe, that flax, when you beat it a lot, Homashim Machim Yoter Mashbiach. And the more it's being beaten, the better it is. And Gimla Chamor Tov, he here has a chamor, an donkey. Mosifim Masui Harbe, that the donkey straw you can add more and more of a burden on it. Mavchino Allah Yisa Od Yoter, and that the test there is how much can he take. Yon Shosha Mashalim, and the idea of these three parables, Lamdena Shinisayon Ba B'Shlosh Bechinot, the idea that this idea of Nisayon comes in this three different kinds, for three different reasons. And that's the three reasons we looked at before. Pamba Kamashal Kedera. Sometimes it's like the pots. So about nekisha al gedera tova kidei yishubach baseh. That's not that the testing, that hitting the pot doesn't make it better. Piladat kamachozak hagedera, but it tells us how strong the pot is. It lets other people know it. Upam ba kamashal pishtan. Sometimes like flax. To labah nikush kidei ladat. That the beating it is not to know about it. Elkzel kidei lahashrichot actually makes it better. Pamba kamashal chamor, tloba ke ladat oloksi yashbiach. Sometimes it's like the donkey that's not there to know anything, but it actually accomplished a purpose. But because that the owner has a lot of things to carry, wants to find the donkey that will be able to handle the largest load. So too with a person, sometimes the Nisayon comes to tell the person how good they are. That's a bichina. And sometimes to increase his own tzedakah. And we'll keep that. Skip ahead. Same idea as the Ramban, that it goes, the idea is to bring that tzidkut, bring that righteousness from the potential into the actual. And that makes it part of the person himself. It roots it in the person, not just, can I do this? But now I know I can do this. I can do this over and over again, once I know what I'm capable of. Sometimes it's for the others around, the entire generation. And that's what the tzaddik takes upon himself. So that's this idea of Yisurim. That's what Yisurim Shel Ahava are. And then Hashem is telling Bnei Yisrael that after 40 years of suffering in the desert, that those things were all true. A, the world knows what you're capable of. B, you are the ones who could accept the Torah with all the Yisurim that are part of that. But even more than that, the biggest idea of the Yisurim is that it tells you, Bnei Yisrael, what you're capable of. You are capable of wandering the wilderness for 40 years and having faith in Hashem. I mean, there were some complaints in there, and that's basically what the Torah deals with, but 40 years, they weren't always complaining. They accepted their man every morning, and it worked. And Sayon tells us what our potential is and allows us to make that potential real, and that's what makes us grow. So Yisurim actually do have an advantage. And if it's not Yisurim, if it wasn't something that was painful, it would not be a test and it would not tell us anything. Because it's easy to do the stuff that's easy. But overcoming that, that's Yisurim Shel Ahava. And we'll finish with the idea from continuing this week's parsha, the famous pasuk about the Shiva meaning. Source 15. That Hashem bring us to the land, Eretz Chita Usara. Hashem is bringing us to a land of wheat and barley, grapes, figs and pomegranates, Eretz Zeit Shemen Udavash, of olives and date honey, the seven minyan. And Eretz Hashem Lobin Miskinu Tochal Balechem, that you'll be able to eat easily. Lo Tachsav Ra, you'll be lacking in nothing. And there is an idea that Am Yisrael Nimshal Shivat HaMinim. Now, if you look through Tanakh, Bnei Yisrael are likened to all seven of these different classic fruits of Eretz Yisrael. And the one about the olive is one point I want to make, because the Gemara Menachah brings in the pasuk that Bnei Yisrael is likened to the olives. Hashem has called you the fruitful olive. Yefepri, beautiful fruit. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Gemara Menachot. Lama Nimshul Yisrael Lezayit. Why are Bnei Yisrael called an olive? Lama Lacha Tichu, Mazayit Lomotzish Meino El Yadei Kitita. Because the olive will not release its oil unless it's been ground down. Of Israel and Chazrim Mutav El Yisurim. So to Bnei Israel, don't reach their potential. Don't become the best they can, except with Yisurim. And that's something that's faced with us on a regular basis. And what we do with those Yisurim is the Nisayon and allows us to grow there to reach our potential. Bernstein concludes saying that Yisurim are not the big issues. The serious suffering, I don't think this is a good way to look at it and say, well, you pain is a feeling of weakness leaving the body. That there are other approaches to look at serious suffering. But looking at the day-to-day minor inconveniences, that's like, what do we do with that? And this is what he says. Contemplating these agadot, a clear message emerges. When we consider the idea of Nisayon, we tend to think of epic do-or-die situations. And in doing so, we overlook the many things that are tests, specifically because they're everyday situations. It is actually those situations which may be the real test of our moral worth. No occasion to speak of, they're just us and the right thing to do. When we consider that it is our tests which bring out the best in us and allow for our spiritual moral growth, it's all the more crucial to realize that we actually encounter them on an ongoing basis. You know, you find something on the street, are you going to give it back? Being nice to someone that you don't know. The little things, the little annoyances. What do you do with someone that really annoys you? You strike out at them? Can you hold it back? In a way, every moral decision is a test. It's a nisayon in our day-to-day lives. Often we forgo these opportunities for spiritual development while we're dreaming about how we would fare in a real test. This is a lesson to be learned, for it can help us appreciate our everyday situations for what they really are. They're the building blocks for our spiritual growth. And that's what this idea of nisayon, and the idea of the man for 40 years every single day, that's the kind of nisayon for which we talk about Yisurim Shalava, and that what we do with that, how we grow from them, is what makes us the people we are. So all these annoyances hopefully should remain minor annoyances, and we should become better people overall and have a good Shabbos.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.